I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
And I'm Helen. Every once in a while, we like to challenge ourselves to a game, one that prompts us to get to know each other more intimately. You can check out episodes 35 and 37, where we went through the 36 questions to fall in love. That one apparently required two episodes. Episode 72, where we played How Well Do We Know Each Other? And episode 95, where we played a holiday drinking game. That one was fun.
That was fun. Oh, today we're going to be focusing on a popular card game, I'm sure most of you have heard of it, called We're Not Really Strangers. It's a game focused on empowering meaningful connections, and there are three levels of questions and wild cards to help you deepen your existing relationships and create new ones.
In this episode, we're going to be playing an online version called We're Just Friends. Here's how it's going to work. We'll take turns selecting a category. The options are main, relationship, self-reflection, honest dating, inner circle, quarantine, breakup, forgiveness, healing, and self-love. The game will then display a question from that category assigned to one person. That person will answer the question, and then we'll move on to the next person who will answer another question from that same category, and so on and so forth until all three of us have answered questions from that category. Then we'll move on to another category. If any of us are presented with a wild card, what this means is that a partner designated by the game must complete the instructions, and some of the wild cards have a time limit. At any time, we can also change the level of the game between level 1, frenemies, level 2, close friends, and level 3, BFF. So here we go, ladies. Are we ready to play We're Just Friends?
I'm not ready.
I don't know why I'm getting nervous and excited at the same time. And also thought you'd be like, are you guys ready to play Bamboozled? I just thought of Friends.
Different game,
I've
different game.
I've never played this game before, and I have no idea what to expect. So I feel like we're going to get really deep, and I'm like kind of sleepy. So let's see what happens.
Life of a mother.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. So, Helen, why don't you start us off? Which category would you like to select from?
Girl, you're making me start? I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, let's see. So we are actually on a Zoom right now, and Janet has a shared screen. So I'm looking at her screen right now. And let's do, oh my gosh, these are like really deep topics. Forgiveness, self-love, healing.
Helen's like, where's the one about like salmon or like something else? Yeah.
Random. Like food. Okay, let's do inner circle. What is that?
Ooh.
Inner circle.
Inner circle.
The subtext says, does knowing someone for long equate to knowing them deeply? Use this deck to find out. Oh my goodness. Ooh. Okay, let's do this.
All right. Here we go. Let's see what the question is. So it looks like the game has designated that it's my turn first. And the question is, what do you think my main love language is?
Well, Helen, you could answer first. I'm Googling love language real quick.
Girl, I am Googling love languages too.
Okay.
Okay. So, who Googled faster? All right. So we have words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. Which one? I know Janet answered this in the past, but I don't remember which one it was. So do you remember, Mel?
No, but you could answer first.
Okay. I'm going to say not. Ooh, hold on. Maybe you should answer first. I'm still thinking.
I think I know Janet's.
Okay. I think I might know too.
Should we say at the same time?
Okay. Ready? One, two, three.
Quality time. Oh, shit. Wait, time out. I meant quality time, but I said the wrong thing. You guys are
you're both wrong.
What? Wait, really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
If you say physical touch, I swear to God.
No, no. My main love language is actually words of affirmation.
Really?
Yeah, that's my primary one. At least it was the last time I took the test.
Oh. Damn, did we just fail level one?
Anyway, you know what's funny? I'm over here trying to like argue. I was like, no, Janet, that is not your main love language.
You think you know her better than she knows herself?
I think the last few years it may have changed. Because it's just like, I think right now, lately, like, I remember all the times, like, even for her birthday, she felt very like, oh, this is so nice. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I feel like it's going to be, I think it's quality time.
I also think quality time because, Jay, I know how much, like, even with the pandemic, because we had to be quarantined in our own homes, meeting online, I know you were, like, one of the bigger proponents of us meeting together and being in person and spending quality time together. So that's why I was like, oh, I think quality time. And you like deep conversations and quality time with people, not just, like, vapid conversations. You like depth. So that's why I chose quality time. Is that your number two?
Yeah, those are, I mean, let's see, quality time and acts of service. I think quality time was my number two, and then acts of service is three. But very good reasons, ladies, and they're also in my love language, the top. So we'll see what the next person is. I'm going to click on the game. It's Helen's turn.
Ooh.
My turn. Ooh. So my question is, what do you think I'm most sensitive to? Girl, I don't even know the answer. Let me think.
What is she most sensitive to?
Cold?
Ooh, I'm
just kidding.
I have a guess.
Okay, I don't even know. So how about you two give me an answer and I'll tell you who's more correct.
Okay. Mel, do you want to go or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. I'm still thinking.
Okay. I think that Helen is most sensitive to her family and friends' well-being. I don't know if that makes sense as an answer.
Yes.
No, yes.
I think I've seen Helen the most emotional when it relates to her family or it's her close friends. But I, for some reason, I don't know why my brain went there. And I think Janet's answer is stronger. But I think this question is very broad. Mm-hmm. But I also can see Helen. This is more like a working question sometimes too. Helen's also very insensitive to inefficiency. So I think anytime, whether it's work or just even like we're out and about, she's like, that was really inefficient. She'll always make a comment like, that was really inefficient.
This is true.
It's kind of like, you know, it's, I think because this question could be depicted as like, what's your pet peeve? Like, what are you sensitive to? It's like, well, that shit annoys me. So I think of like, that's something I feel like Helen will mention.
Wow. Both really, really strong answers and both, I would say both accurate answers. Actually, Janet, when you mentioned family and close friends' well-being, like I did feel emotional when you said that because it did feel like, yes, that is something I am, that is something that I care very much about. So if emotions are linked to sensitivity, then yes, I felt it immediately. So I think that is a correct answer. And for Mel, for sure, you nailed that on the head too. Very sensitive to inefficiency. So yeah, I think you're both correct. Answered it better than I would have answered it myself.
Nice. And we'll move on to the next question.
All right. To give our listeners some context, they decided to up the level of these questions from frenemies to close friends. We're on level two. I don't know how I feel about that. For my question, you're going to go up the level. I'm a little nervous. But the question that is asked is, how can I add 1% more happiness to your life?
To our lives or us to you? To our lives.
To me, to my life.
I think, I'm going to read the question as how would Mel answer increasing the happiness in her life by 1%?
No, add happiness to my life.
Me, it's my turn.
Okay. How can we add 1% more happiness to Mel's life?
Just 1%? Or I guess 1% is a lot.
1%. These questions are really challenging because I feel like for me, I'm just like, I don't know. Let me think.
Okay, I already know. I already know my answer for this. Oh. Sending you more pictures of my baby.
Yeah.
That might increase by more than 1%, though.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, since we're on Zoom, my wallpaper right now is
Oh my god, you have her baby as your wallpaper?
It's so so cute.
That's what moms typically do of their own child, Mel.
I don't even have it. Actually, he is on my wallpaper. He's on my lock screen, but he's not on my wallpaper.
Whatever.
That's a really cute photo, though. Yeah. She's showing us the photo. He's like peeping through your icons.
Yeah. I will say, I agree. I never thought I'd be that, like, auntie. I definitely grown more fondness for children the last few years. But when Helen had her baby, I feel very closely connected to this child. And I replay his videos and photos in between my breaks and in the morning if I want to, like, jumpstart a really good day. And what I do is, since his photo is behind my screen right now, there are moments where I'm just, this sounds maybe TMI, but there are moments where I'm like on the toilet, you know, you're on your phone. I'll look at the photo and I go, boop, 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 and I hit his nose just to like play with the photo because I'm just like, I don't have it in my real life.
I love how that added detail of being on the toilet was so unnecessary.
Yeah. We could like maybe take that out. I don't know, but.
She's really painting the picture for us.
Yeah. I will say that's something like, you don't expect these little things to bring you happiness, but just something so simple. I don't know. Mm. There's that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I was going to say if we took you to like a BTS concert.
I don't think you're a huge fan of BTS though.
Oh, that's right. She's not. She's fairly.
You know what it would be? If we sat down and watched a K-drama with her. Or she might want to watch it herself. Girl.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, I remember you were excited about BTS when they came to town, so... I do think it would increase your happiness by 1% if we took you to a BTS concert.
Actually, yeah, this is 1%. Okay, I'm like 50%. So,
okay, I will say if we went to a K-pop concert, maybe like a GOT7, I would be very excited. Mm. BTS, I'm very fortunate to have seen them twice. So I'm just like, I don't want to do a hot take. I'm a K-pop fan. I do like BTS. I think I'm more of a GOT7 fan because the members to me are a little bit more like my style, you know? Mm. So that's a hard question. I don't even know how to answer that because I'm like, I didn't realize it's only 1%. If it's like a 5% thing, I thought you guys would be like, if ABG was like, I don't know if it's like a work-related question or whatnot, but your answers were pretty good. I'll give you that.
What was the first thing that came to your mind?
I thought about vacation. I don't know why. Oh. Like a trip. Like, I don't know, like something, like a vacation, pretty much. Because I feel like I've been working really hard the last few months. I'm just like, you know, that's a nice little, you know.
Well, good thing you got one coming up, so.
All righty. All right, so I guess it's my turn now to choose a category.
We're at the second tier. This is close friends. We leveled up from frenemies. So let's stay with level 2.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go up, Jay. Let's see.
All right, we're going to choose main, the OG deck. Oh, okay. So the question for me is, what is the last thing you lied to your mother about?
Something comes to my mind, but I don't think Janet lies to her mom.
I tell white lies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You said that so innocently. Like, she's, like, covering her mouth, too. Like, I tell white lies.
I think this answer might be related to something with ABG and publicity, because I know amongst the three of us, Janet has shared that her mother is a little bit more sensitive of her publicly sharing about her story and all these things. So I could see Janet being like, oh no, we did that, but it wasn't a big deal, or it wasn't very publicized or something like that. So her mom could be a little like stress-free. Or maybe she's gonna lie about this answer or this question we're about to like address.
Given what I know about your relationship with your mom, I would agree that that is probably the last thing, something ABG work related. I'm trying to think of something more random, like, no, I did not leave the toilet seat up or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did not eat the meat. I don't know.
Oh, I bet you, sorry, I'm just giving out random ass assumptions now, but during the pandemic, Janet's mom gave her hella, like, sprays and, like, gloves. Yes, mom, I have finished using all the gloves you gave me. You know what I mean? Or, like,
That's a good guess, or, yeah.
Didn't she say, this is so stupid. I remember you saying, like, your mom wanted you to wax your eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. She did. She thinks my eyebrows are too aggressive.
And I don't know how you would lie about that.
There was one time where I just told her, look, I've already gotten them done. Don't worry. They, like, the lady that did them said that they look perfectly fine. And it was between waxes. But that wasn't the last lie that I told her. The last lie I told her, which is a white lie, I think, My mom gets like super, I mean, I think as most mothers in general, like she's just very protective. So she's like, when you're out in LA, don't go out at night by yourself. The moment it gets dark, stay inside, you know? And I'm like, yes, mom, of course. But I can't, that's like not realistic, right? Like I go out and sometimes I do go for, I don't go for night walks when I feel like it's dangerous, but you know, I've come back from a walk in the evening, but it's in a neighborhood and I feel safe. But yeah, I'm out and I just tell her, of course not. I'm always at home. Don't worry, just so that she doesn't worry.
Man, I've been telling that lie since high school.
Yeah, not that big of a deal, right?
Sure.
Next question. Now it's Helen's turn.
Ooh. Okay, so the question for me is, what would your younger self not believe about your life today?
Ooh, this is a very good question.
I got one.
I think your younger self would not have believed that you would be working in media and have like a public-facing persona.
Holding all reactions. Mel?
It's really hard for me to like, because I go back and forth with this one. This is like kind of unrelated. But I mean, in passing, we always talk about our personality type. And you always said that like, when you like did your personality test, like it's always been the entertainer. You know, it's like, I think for me, it's like, it was always in you. So I wonder if your younger self always knew that though. You know what I mean? And then we also had conversations before where I think it's like, I feel like you always had this ambition and deep down knowing that regardless of what you step into, you'll be fine. Like, I think you knew that as a child and we talked about that. So I'm trying to think of what was something your younger self actually would not believe. So I'm just like, what actually deep down would you have not believed would happen? Maybe the scope, the level of where you're at with this. I don't know. That's a very tough question. Like, because I wonder, I think for me, I guess I'm questioning the question because I wonder if deep down you actually, there's always an inkling. There's always this like small feeling of maybe, what if?
Okay. I will say that you are both correct.
Oh.
Both correct. I feel like you guys should like start taking my interview questions for me because you both know me very well. So that is the thing that I thought about right away, because when I was younger and actually still at this age, my biggest fear, as I've said on this podcast before, is public speaking. And that has been a fear of mine like since high school, eighth grade declamation, had to go up in front of the class and declaim a memorized poem. And that was just like the most horrific anxiety inducing thing ever. And really like messed up my confidence with public speaking. And so if you were to tell me, younger Helen, that I would be in a role where I had to be a public speaker, I'd be like, hell no, there's no way, no way at all. Like, I'd rather, I don't know, bungee jump, jump out of airplane, anything other than doing that. So for sure, being a podcaster was not in my expectations at all. And then I think to what you were saying, Mel, about I always knew I wanted to be sort of out of the cubicle. I worked in a cubicle for almost 10 years, just confined within walls all the time. And I also knew that I wanted to get out of there. So you're right there as well, that I always wanted to do something in entertainment, in media, but never knew what it was. So yeah, younger self would be very surprised with where I am today.
Aww. My question is kind of like a Mad Lib. So Helen and Jana have to finish this, and I guess maybe I have to give an answer too. It says, finish the sentences. Strangers would describe me as blank. Only I know that I am blank.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I do an easy one?
Sure.
Easy one on the surface is, strangers would describe Mel as extremely extroverted. Only I know that I am not.
That was what I was thinking too. Except I said I would think like only I know that I am like slightly introverted or like my alone time or something like that.
Yeah, but then I feel like a lot of people know that too. That's so true. It's what does only Mel know? What does Mel know? Only Mel we don't knows. Even know, but we can guess.
Huh.
Strangers would describe me as potentially a freak in the sheet. Only I know that I don't know if I can kiss correctly.
Actual conversations that we have had with her.
That's just true. We don't have to include that if we don't want
it's
to.
It's okay. I could say it. I'm like, I get nervous. Oh, you know, I feel like I go back and forth. I will say yes to the introvert, extrovert thing for sure. I think people assume that I'm more extroverted than I really am. I just feel like in general, the past few years, it made me more like more socially awkward and like want to stay home. But Okay, this is where I go back and forth on. Okay, I guess we're getting really honest here, and I don't know why I'm just thinking about this, but I think strangers would describe me as wholesome. I think I look very wholesome.
I would agree. I would agree.
Only I know that I am not really wholesome.
You can't just use the negative for
the okay, so like, okay. So the thing is, I feel like I'm contradicting myself because I feel like I'm either depicted as very wholesome, like, oh, Mel, like, you're very, like, by the book and, like, you don't do any of that. Like, I think people think I'm the type that, like, doesn't have sex. Like, oh, no, I don't do that, you know? Sometimes.
I now I'm curious what our listeners think about same. This because I feel like it would actually be 50-50.
That's true. That's true. I can see that.
You can be both.
Yeah.
You're versatile. You are very versatile. You could be a little thoughty thought or not.
But it's weird because like then I would answer that with like, oh, wait, I know that I am. Not saying not, but like I think I'm very open-minded to explore a little bit about like your sexuality. Like I think that's very something I know. But at the same time, I will also say that strangers would describe me as maybe like Helen was like, nah, you a freak or like whatever. But at the same time, I'm also could be really traditional with certain things. Like, it's weird. Like, I'm, like, a rule follower, but at the same time, I'm not. Like, there are certain things that I'm, like, oh, I like to make sure I go by a certain timeline. Like, I don't kiss on the first date, but not saying I don't do anything else after that. You know, but it's just kind of, like, there's, like, a it changes. Sorry, I brought it there. My bad.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, we see you and we've got you. Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
This might be an unpopular opinion, but I'm not the biggest fan of shopping. In fact, I kind of dread it. Even with online shopping, I often find myself with like 20 tabs open with 20 different variations of pants because I just can't decide, which is why I appreciate services like Stitch Fix who do the shopping for me. Here's how it works. Take a few minutes to set up your style profile, answer some questions about what you like to wear, what you don't, and how open you are to trying new styles. Then their expert stylist will go to work. Every piece is handpicked just for you and is unique to your size, style, and in your budget. Stitch Fix will send you 5 pieces to try on at home. Keep what you love and send back what you don't. I got my favorite pair of black vegan boots through Stitch Fix, and so many people are asking me always where I got them from. I know you can't see them through the mic right now, but in case you're wondering, I got them from Stitch Fix. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are easy and free. Sign up today at stitchfix.com/ABG to get $20 off your first purchase. That's stitchfix.com/ABG to get $20 off your first purchase. Limited time offer, purchase within 2 days of sign up.
All right, so it's Janet's turn to choose a category. Janet, I'll also say, since this may be our last round, why don't you turn up the level?
Shall we do it? Let's do it. I'm going to do honest dating.
Okay.
And then we're going to turn the level up to BFF. Oh, I am first. My question for the BFF level in the category of honest dating, if you were to write my dating profile bio, what would it say?
What would it say? It shouldn't just be what would it say? Can we brainstorm together? Yeah, let's do it together. It would say, hello, my name is Janet. What? Okay, by the way, I have not been on a dating app, so I don't know what these profiles are supposed to look like or say.
Hi, I'm Janet. skip.
Oh, you have to make an immediate first impression too, right? Good first impression too.
Like, okay, I would probably say something like intellectual Virgo. That sounds weird, huh? Because people used to say, like, I'm a fun-loving blah, blah, blah. Like,
This is hard.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't like this question. Because I'm literally about to pull up your lucky cat bio.
Okay, we can't use her...
My professional bio for my dating profile?
Then what are you Googling right now? You Googling something.
I'm Googling dating profile to see what people write.
Okay, what would I say for Janet? Okay, Janet, I would say, hello. My name is Janet. And I am a wellness enthusiast. I can stand on my head.
You should add the part.
I can fold like a pretzel.
Helen obviously has not been on the dating apps for a very long time. All right, I'm gonna let you finish and I'm gonna go after you.
Girl, I need help.
Okay.
I need to type this out. I can't just like, yeah. I need to type this out.
So I Googled dating profiles and like people start off sometimes with something like fun and debatable. So I think I'll start off saying the eggplant hummus is the item I wish Trader Joe's would bring back. Like in the big, what would you want them to bring back? Cause like, you're kind of saying like, oh, I like Trader Joe's, like start a conversation maybe. And like if someone responds, it could be like, oh yeah, I wish Trader Joe's had this or something like that. And then I would say, looking for a serious relationship and to start a new chapter with in my life. Blah, blah, blah. Be like, AKA, I'm not here to fuck around. But also enjoys intellectual conversations, walking on the beach or over a really good cup of Joe, cup of coffee in a really cute part of town. I'm also a wellness enthusiast that can stand on my head and has dabbled in Eastern medicine, but at this, that sounds weird. Like, or say something. I would also say, like, Janet traveled a lot. It's like, you know, I would consider myself a career transitional professional. I've been in da-da-da careers and been these parts of cities. Excited to get to know you, blah. But does that make her sound fun, though? Does it make, or, like, am I missing a fun element? The stand on the head.
Yeah. That is a very, like, can offer different perspectives because you can see the world upside down.
I think that'd be funny.
That's pretty good.
Janet's going to use that now.
Nice, yeah.
Is that close to what you have in your actual bio?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I do highlight the wellness thing because I talk about how I do meditate daily and I lead a mostly plant-based lifestyle or diet. And then I always include something like yoga related in the pictures or in the questions. So yeah, that's pretty on.
You know, I try. For the plant-based one, I would say it's like, I like plants, the ones in my house and to eat. Or I don't know, just to make it like...
You add humor, which is nice. I feel like I don't add too much humor for mine. Yeah, which is good.
I'm a funny person. Just kidding.
Hello, I'm Janet.
I'm going to lead with that. Hello, I'm Janet. All right, next we have... It's Helen's turn.
Gone.
Oh!
On a scale of 1 to 10, how emotionally available do I seem? Explain. Wait, what? How emotionally available do I seem? All right, yeah, explain, because I don't know where this question going.
I have answers to this.
Okay.
Okay. This is obviously my opinion. I think you're an emotionally available level at like 8 or 9, for my opinion. Because I will say, even though Helen, like during her pregnancy, she was like, you know, obviously going through her own stuff and waddling and stuff. Very cute. I just have a clear vision of Phil trying to put on shoes on Helen. And she was like really adamant at putting on these slip-ons that used to fit her like a glove. But he was like, it's not fitting. And she just starts laughing. Sorry. That memory is so distinct. But I will say, though, even though you were, you know, going through pregnancy and even now, like, I know it's been really tough. I feel like if I really need to talk to you, you always make yourself available to me. And I think that's something that I really appreciate and value. And I know you value your friends. So I do think, granted, it's been exhausting. I know you're probably scheduled. Your sleep schedule is like crazy with the baby. But I still think you're at a level 8 or like 9.
I would actually agree. I was going to say, I don't know how much you actually are because it says how emotionally available do I seem, right? Mm-mm. But I think that whenever you talk to people, you do make them feel very heard. And like the impression is that you do care a lot. And not just by the way that, like, eye contact and stuff like that, but also I think the way that you engage and, like, follow up with questions, it feels like you're very emotionally available.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Thanks, guys. I have not had enough sleep, and I'm going to Like, I felt emotional from you answering that question because I do value my friendships a lot. But when I first saw this question, I was like, I feel like I'm emotionally drained myself. Like, I'm not even emotionally available for myself right now. So how am I supposed to be emotionally available for other people? But I think I do put a lot of effort in when someone does need me. I think that's just maybe my nature to be there for friends, even if I put myself aside, which is not the greatest thing either. But I appreciate your answers, and I'm glad that that is coming off, even though I don't feel like I am emotionally available right now.
I do want to add, though, if that's the case, I also hope that, like, as a friend, it's, like, off topic, but if you don't feel available, I don't want you to pick up our calls. I don't want you to be there.
No. You know what it is, though? I think I actually do enjoy when a friend calls and says, I need help with something, because then that puts me out of my own emotional strain and lets me focus on helping someone else. I think the feeling of helping someone else is, like, a very euphoric feeling for a lot of people too, that you know that you're able to help someone else. It's just trying to figure out how to help myself at this point, which I'm still working on, but good to know that I am coming off emotionally available, which I am, so holler.
And now we'll go to Mel's turn.
So
this is a wild card, and the partner is Helen.
So I guess I need to ask Helen this. Ask literally anything. Permission to go there.
Ooh.
F.
Where's she gonna go? Where's she gonna go?
Oh, gosh.
Why does it always go sexual? Okay, hold on. Let me try not to go there.
Please.
What do you think is the nastiest habit that you have that you would not share with someone who you're dating?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, man.
I hope he's not listening.
Oh, I have two, and I don't know which one I should go with.
I think you should reveal both.
Yeah. Dude, this is so disgusting. I feel like everyone's been like, what the freak, Mel?
You know what? Everyone has their weird intricacies, so.
Should I start with most gross or, like, the least gross?
Least gross, and then build up.
You know, sad. What if, like, the least gross actually is the most gross? Okay. I will say, lately in the past, like, year or so, I feel like I'm getting a lot more boogers. Like, there are so many times I'm hanging out with you guys, and you goes, hey, Mel, and so, like, you, like, go, like, you have something in your nose. I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, like, I got a nose hair trimmer. I don't know what it, like, I don't know what's happening up there. So I feel like I have more boogers, or, like, I see it more. So maybe I pick my nose more often.
So you saying you got a nose hair trimmer, does that mean that your boogers are just, like, more freely flowing out of your nose? Is that what you're saying? It's not getting trapped in your nose hairs?
Yeah, nothing to catch.
I think I have more liquid in my nose, and it hardens to crusty stuff. And so I have to, like, it just you see it more. So just that's really gross. But yeah.
You have more bodily fluids.
I do. I don't know why. That's something gross. Yeah, it's a habit. I'm just feeling I'm doing more. I wash my hands, obviously, but I'm just like, damn, I like picking my nose a lot. The second thing that I think it's the grossest thing that, I don't know why it popped in my head, and this is so nasty. So obviously, like, time to time, like, cut my nails, or, like, I cut my toenails, and you clean. Like, you have to, like, use that, like, the digger to clean your toenails, right? And sometimes there's stuff in there. Fuck.
Like toe jam?
Yeah, right?
No, toe lint.
Yeah, sure.
It's like lint that gets...
Oh!
Like, sometimes, okay, I don't know if it's totally, but sometimes I'll clean my toenails, and I have this, like, weird tendency just to want to smell it.
Oh my god, okay.
Like, you're kind of just like, I wonder how it smells.
All right, Mel, I got you.
You do it too.
What?
It smells like cheese, right?
Oh my god. Okay, first of all, I don't use that tool to pick. I feel like I cut the nail so that there isn't any thing left for you to
pick. To be honest, I've seen your toes. I feel the way your toes and toenails are shaped. It's hard for gum to get in there. It's just the way it's shaped.
Yeah, because I always cut them. I don't leave room for shit to get stuck.
But my nail bed is more lifted, so more things can go in there. Versus yours is more like to your skin, right?
Yeah.
Yo, Mel, why are you always staring at our feet?
Yeah. You put it there. Anyways.
Now I'm curious. If this is a 2 out of 3 situation, do any of our listeners pick their toe lint?
Well, it's kind of lit. Okay. Yeah, it is weird that I smell it too and you smell it. But, like, I don't know why.
It's kind of like It's kind of, two things come to mind. It's kind of like when I was watching Ali Wong's skit, she was like, she was talking about how she complains working in corporate, how she wants to, when she scratches her crotch, she needs to smell her fingers. I don't do that, but I'm just saying, there's a tendency to want to smell. Like, I'm pretty sure people, when they're cleaning their belly button, they also want to smell it too. I don't think I smell my belly button, but I like to pick at it. But anyways, there's an inkling to want to smell.
That I will buy. There's a human tendency. Okay. Yeah, I'm curious. Leave in the comments, please. Maybe leave a... Is there a toe emoji or just a foot emoji?
Hello, and no.
There's a foot emoji. There is a foot emoji, not a toe one.
That was an interesting question. No, I want to know your guys' answer, but I guess I can't ask.
So this will be one we answer for everyone. So the question is, what mannerisms of mine stood out the most to you, if any?
I'm getting mannerisms, like, confused with, like, just, like, tendencies? Is mannerism just, like, the same thing?
I think so. It's, like, anything that a person will do.
I feel Janet has a lot.
Uh-oh, I do.
Okay. one thing that comes to mind for Janet is that when we are having a conversation with our friends. Okay, so Philip, my husband, likes to troll me a lot, and I feel like I like to troll him back a lot. That's just our relationship. And I feel like when we're in a group conversation and he's trolling me, Janet will always come to my defense. Always. Hard. Like, deep, hard. And I'm just like, all right, Jay, always got my back. I feel like that's a man. That's something that I noticed you do quite often, and I appreciate that.
I do, yeah. I feel like, especially with, I guess, yeah, because your guys' relationship, you do troll each other a lot, and it's just known, but maybe in the beginning before, especially when I didn't know it was, like, a thing, I would just be like, why would you say that to her? And then I get very defensive.
That's a good one. I have a lot.
I have another one, too.
I don't know if it's either things that stood out, but when Janet does these things, I'm like, oh, that's Janet. Like, I just, like, no, it's, like, such a Janet thing. Should we go back and forth for a bit, Helen?
Sure.
Well, the obvious one that I think only our friends see is when Janet drinks, her voice changes. She gets very, like, because you hear her on the podcast, like, hello, everyone, welcome to, just so, like, put together.
Her music little, to your ears, yeah. Yes.
But when she drinks, she has her alien voice that comes in. It's like, it's like, that's kind of like, this, like, type of voice that just comes on. And then when she does that, I look at Helen, I'm like, yeah, she's there. Yeah. We just know.
Janet, can you try and make that voice for our listeners?
Is it this one?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's kind of, I sound like I'm a little sleepy or out there or high. She goes,
a little.
Yeah, it's that voice for sure. That's what I noticed. It's our indicator for G. What's another one?
That's true. I was going to say that one too. But in line with that, she also makes this sound that goes,
Oh, yeah. Do you do that a lot?
I don't know why, but when another thing with Jay too that I remember is because I have the tendency to run late, but if I run late, I know Janet will either be arriving at the same time as me or like a few minutes after.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad.
And sometimes she has this this stride she comes in with too. I don't know what it is. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like her symbol of like, I'm here. Like I'm gonna make sure like I'm late. I'm like here on time or here now kind of vibe. There's that I picture too. It's like an image I have in my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As you were painting that picture, I also thought about something else. So I feel like Janet, when someone else is taking the lead in terms of like getting to a destination, she will follow and just like be part of the group and following the leader. But then when she's in the position of, okay, Janet, can you lead us somewhere? Girl has her phone like in front of her face and she is like on a mission. She's like, all right, let's go. Let's get there. And she's walking like 10 times faster than you. And you're just like, gotta catch up to Janet.
Yeah.
But that's something that I've noticed.
That is so true because I'm the slowest walker. So I'm like running behind you guys.
And I'm like in the middle. So I'm like, where do I go? Slow or fast?
There's so many.
There are a lot. Let's move on to who wants to be next.
It should be Helen.
Helen?
Okay.
All right. Mannerisms of Helen.
Where do I begin? I hear the... Helen does this. I think I say some dumb things. It's a Helen beat. Look at me. She goes, girl,
Oh, girl. The lip click kind of, or yeah.
And but. I hear it. It's directed more towards me than you, Jay.
Yeah.
Helen goes, duh, oh duh,
duh. She does it when she blanks out or when she messes up. She goes, duh.
I feel like Helen's the reason why we speak God. In sound effects. Like literally.
Yeah, she does have a lot of sound effects.
I was in a meeting with Ashley and she was like, "Yeah, you guys make a lot of noise." And I'm just like, "I get it from Helen, dude."
I'm sorry. I'm bringing your speaking quality down with these random human bodily effects and sounds. Yeah.
I also think there's so many. I love when Helen does meow meow. She does that. And then she does that meow meow sound. For me, it's just like a cute little sound she makes, and I love it. Another one she does. I just always picture her when we're drinking. She goes, "Hey, hey," and she just starts,
yeah, that's
she just starts bending over.
She starts twerking a little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's very Helen. There are things Helen just says a lot to me because I feel like I probe her with these things. She's like, "Girl, you're going to say it anyway." Like, I hear that from you all the time.
Okay, okay. Sorry. So to move on to Mel real quick here. I say that because, Mel, you always say, "Oh, I don't know if I should say that."
So it's always a counter.
So many times in, like, the past 2 months. I feel like this is a thing now. You're always like, "Ooh, I shouldn't go there. Ooh, I shouldn't say this. Ooh, I should keep this to myself." I'm like, "Girl, you know you're going to go there anyway. Just say it." And then you say it. So, yes.
That's true.
That's my response to when your mannerism of saying, "Ooh, I shouldn't say this."
I don't know if this isn't really a mannerism, but I feel like if I were to capture an image of Helen, I always just remember that when we would go out, I would see her like, I feel like your iconic, like, big blonde hair. Like, we used to curl it, and then it was, like, blonde. That was, like, it's not really manners, more of a characteristic. I feel like whenever I see, like, bigger blonde hair and then, like, your smile, you were always, like, it's, like, the smiley eyes with the like, curled blonde hair. I don't know why. That just makes me think of her.
Like a freaking cartoon character here.
But those are just, like, traits that make me think of Helen.
Yeah. Those are good ones.
Yes, yes. All right, let's move on to Mel. Okay, I have one. Girl's hair will be in your face.
Yes.
No matter where
you
are.
That was the first one that I thought of.
At least once, especially if you're in the club, like, at least twice. Mel, like,
she has a tendency. Mel has very big movements. And so if you're standing next to her, she's like whipping around a lot. Yes. And then eventually her hair will land in your face.
Especially if there's a cute guy around. Then it gets like turned on speed times 10. It's like back and forth, back and forth. Yeah.
I thought I would like tone it down because I want to be like calm.
No, okay, so you try to keep it calm, but then you get excited and you like flick your hair a little
bit. Yeah.
It's actually funny because I have so many snapshots of like do that, and then I see Helen Jenna do this face like, "Mel, your hair was like," like your face is just like.
I have another one. Mel has a tendency to like, because she's fast movement, so she'll say something, and then if we're eating, she'll take a bite or she'll take a sip, and then she chokes.
What I do?
Yes. You'll like say something, and then you know how you go and go like that. So, but you'll like say something, and then you take a bite and go, and you kind of choke, or you'll drink the water, and you go, and you kind of choke.
Wow, I don't remember that. I might have done it so naturally. It doesn't register.
It's mannerism. Okay, I have one. When we have our ABG meetings and we schedule it around lunch, without fail, right after lunch, you will see Mel slouched, and she'll be like, her eyes are just glazed over, and she's like, like so tired. And she's just like, "I have food coma right now."
That is very true. That is very true.
That's very accurate. My whole family knows that about me.
Mel, what's one that we haven't said about you yet?
Yeah, the food coma hair is like the biggest thing I'm known for. Or you say I asked you a lot, like, "Do you guys know anyone?"
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Mel has her repertoire of questions that she always asks people. One is, "Do you have a guy for me?" Two is, "Who are your bridesmaids?" Three is, "If you were to date one of our friends, who would it be?"
Wow, I'm very creative with the type of questions I ask people.
Well, that concludes today's round of We're Just Friends, which is a rendition of We're Not Really Strangers. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you yourself would like to play this game with you and your friends, you can go to www.werejustfriends.online. That's WERE, justfriends.online, and give this game a try.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/asianbossgirl/support or get some merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is @AsianBossGirl.
And we have a couple of shout-outs today. It is June, which is the month of graduation, so we've got a bunch of congratulations. From Seattle, Dana is sending a shout-out to Ashley. Major congratulations on graduating. This is a huge milestone, and can't wait to see what comes next. In Mauritius, Gabrielle is sending a congrats to Josephine on graduating and getting a job as well. And Jasmine in SoCal is sending a shout out to her fiance, Brian, to the ABV in my life. I'm so excited to take on life and this new future ahead of us with you. Here's to our personal and professional growth. If you'd like to send a few words of encouragement or a shout out to a friend, check out the link in the show description or our link tree in our link in bio on Instagram and click on shout outs.
And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
With that, we'll catch you all in the next episode.
Bye! Bye.